Hello and welcome back to the Man I Love Film podcast. I'm your co-host Issa.
I'm chill.
We were just doing the High School Musical. Ma, ma. Yeah. Well, this week we watched Monkey Man 2024, a new movie by Mr. Dev Patel, directorial debut. But before we get into that, Chell, how were you this week?
Pretty good. Honestly, the sun is coming out. Low-key, the week did not start that great. So in Kentucky, there was like extreme warnings of like, hey, like there's gonna be tornadoes. There's gonna be, I've never experienced that in my life. They threw us in the basement at one point, and I was like, oh, okay, this is real. And then it got a little chilly, but now it's getting sunny again, it's getting warm again, and I'm coming to life personally. I'm a summer person. I need the summer. I miss the summer. I miss Florida. That's such a sick and twisted thing to say, but yeah.
I feel like every episode we have to have like one Florida mention at the very least.
Also related to Florida. Mr. DeSantis, if you kill DEI, I swear, like it's so bad. It's getting so bad. I'm growing more and more concerned for the educational system in Florida. And then also, like, please vote. Leave. What
This
was
is the
it?
call to arms.
This is a call to arms in
Take your
voting.
arm and check anybody else at the polls.
Like, it takes one Google search. Please. There. Anyway, for movies I watched this week, I haven't really been watching a lot since Teen Beach Movie. I watched the movie Hitch from 2005. Have you seen it?
Okay, so you asked me, you texted me, and I was like, I think I've seen it, but even if I have, like, it doesn't really count because I don't remember anything because I must have been pretty young. But I hear people reference it all the time.
Yeah, it's like Will Smith is, I guess you could call him a dating coach. And he's coaching Kevin James to dating this basically model. And he's like, no, it's about confidence. It's about the vibes. It's like all these things. And then Eva Mendes is like a newspaper person, like she gets the gossip. And so people are confused on why Kevin James can suddenly date this model. And then they think, or she thinks that Will Smith is one of these like alpha male, like just trying to get men to sleep with women. And Will Smith is like, I am not about that. I'm about a real connection. Like we are trying to find a love. And yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. But yeah, that was the only movie I really watched this week. What about you? How have you been? How have you been? And what have you watched?
Well, I had a fun little trip to the hospital this morning, but I'm fine. I'm fine. We already talked about it, but I don't know. I guess no one needs to know that, but I just like being real and authentic, you know? And so
I
I did.
received a text message at 3 in the morning, being like, hey, casually headed to the hospital. Don't worry. If I message back by 11, I'm like totally chill, totally fine. And then it's like a couple hours later, it was like, I'm fine. It's good.
Heading out now,
Yeah.
getting some Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, no, I had a really excruciating migraine, which is like normal for me. Usually not on hospital level, but it happens, I suppose. So, but I'm good now. I'm good now. As far as movies I watched, so I watched three. Actually, I watched four since Teen Beach Movie, but one of them was The Lure, which we already talked about. So I've been on like my movie grind lately. But I watched Eraserhead, which creepy. You know, I mean that was the expectation. I don't know, everyone on TikTok has just been talking about that Eraserhead baby, and they're like, I would love him. And I'm like, I'm so real with you right now. That thing looks too much like ET for me to ever love it. Like, I would punt that thing into the moon. I'm so sorry. Like, I get it. I'm sympathetic towards it. Would not love it. Cannot. I'm sorry. But yeah, it was like, I don't know. It was fine. Like, it's a much more atmospheric movie than like anything with like an actual plot. You know? Which makes sense. It's like an artsy movie from the 70s. So that was Eraserhead. And then I watched Labyrinth for the first time, which has taken me way too long because like everything about it just like checks all of my boxes. Loved it so much. The humor. I love Muppet humor, and I say Muppet because Jim Henson puppets. And everyone always says it, but I underestimate it. David Bowie in this movie.
What?
Chell's looking at me weird. You don't hear people say that all the time. This is not even me being weird this time.
I know people say it, but I don't believe him. But I've never seen Labyrinth.
Okay, you have to see him in action because I didn't fully get it either. I believed it.
Okay.
Like I look at him and I'm like, no, like I can see it. It's just like for me personally, whatever. But it's you have to see him in this movie. And the scene, the ball scene, oh, just so dreamy. I saw that. I saw their costumes in person because I went to a Muppet exhibit. Well, specifically a Jim Henson exhibit in Seattle years ago, and they had the costumes from the Labyrinth. Yeah, so they also had Kermit. I'm sure there's a ton of Kermits in museums everywhere, but yeah. And then last but not least, I saw the movie Cursed, which has been in my watch list for like a hot minute. And like, I think it's by the same director that made Scream. And I didn't know this until after I watched it, but apparently, like, it really went through the ringer. Like it had a whole different plot, and then the studio just absolutely tore it apart, and the guy rewrote it to be almost completely different. And there's like horrible, horrible CGI, and when there's like practical effects, it's just like people in the most ridiculous werewolf costumes, but it's like there's like weird CGI, like body horror, so it's like gross, but it's not even like an authentic gross. It's just like watching like a really violent video game, but it's like also funny. It was so bad. I loved it. It was great. I do mourn what it probably could have been because like apparently it was supposed to. I'll let people look up the plot that happened. But the plot that was originally written was supposed to be like this dance academy student is secretly a werewolf. And then they almost get killed by a serial killer that doesn't know that they're a werewolf. And they have to like attack the serial killer in self-defense. So then the serial killer starts showing symptoms of like werewolfism. And has to find the student again to be like, hey, what on earth is going on with me? Which I thought was like really interesting. So it's too bad that that didn't get to happen because the plot that we do get is definitely a lot more, you know, not necessarily like something we've seen before, but it's like a werewolf movie with the same skeleton of something we've seen before, if that makes sense. But yeah.
Yeah, I
So.
saw the cast on it. I've never seen the movie, but the cast, like the clips that I've seen, I'm like, what do all of these people have to do with each other?
Yeah, seeing Christina Ricci and Jesse, what's his name again? Jesse Eisenberg, right?
Yeah.
Seeing them, they're siblings in this movie, and like I don't know, I just had never thought of them in the same room before.
Me either. Like, I would never be like, yep, these two.
Also, lots of like, I don't even know if I would call it homophobic jokes because like all of the I mean, they definitely are, but like it's very self-aware. Like, there's this bully, and he's just like constantly calling Jesse Eisenberg slurs. And then, Jesse Eisenberg, there's like a Spider-Man moment where, like, after they get bit by the werewolves, he's showing all these super abilities. He's showing all these super abilities, but the sister is like going through it and not showing any of that. She's just having like a rough time, but he's doing great. And so he wrestles this bully in school, and he's like hurling all the slurs at him. And then he's like, maybe you hurl all these slurs at me because you're deflecting. And then later at the house, the bully's like, how did you know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's very 2000s. I think it came out in like 2005.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. Dang.
Yeah, should we get into it?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
All right. So, Monkey Man from this year by Dev Patel. One small ember can burn down everything. A kid, an anonymous young man who ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club where, night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him.
That one was a
Yeah.
mouthful.
It was. I was kind of like tripping. I felt like, when you have to popcorn read in middle school and you get like kind of nervous and you're like, oh, I'm not timing this right.
The person before you had like a 2 second or 2 sentence long paragraph, and you're like, oh
Yeah.
no.
No, I like that's a pretty good summary. I think that the core of the film is a revenge action movie, which like I think there's a lot of revenge action movies. And I think it does it pretty well. Just because I feel like there's a lot of themes that kind of tie into it, which for me, some of them hit really good, and some of them I was like, eh, but like I think we could talk about that a little more.
I'm trying to think if there's a way that we could do like a spoiler-free moment for maybe like 5 minutes, because it just came out. Like, and we both saw it like the day it dropped. Like, we were there Thursday night on the dot.
True. Yeah. I guess like spoiler-free version, maybe we could go into visually some of the things that like we really liked or like visually like that. Maybe the writing and the directing, and then also kind of
Maybe some
oh,
like
we could do like influences
production.
and things that like have come out during interviews and stuff.
Okay, cool.
Every time we do a movie that just came out, like I'll take my notebook and it's like a level of humiliating.
I should get a quill. Just like
I have a
fully lean
little leather
into it.
bound book.
I got there like 5 minutes late, and so I didn't have the heart to like. I was already making so much noise with my popcorn and my gummy worms that I was like, I cannot pull out this notebook thing. Also, when the movie started, the point that I was there before the title card, so I don't think like I missed much. I couldn't tell anything that I missed. Did I miss something?
Well, I think the beginning of the movie is like the story of like Hanuman.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I picked those things up
Yeah.
along the way. I was a little lost, a little bit, but I got there eventually. I was like, I'll reach it. I'll reach that point. Yeah, I'm really bad at getting to the movies and stuff. Yeah.
I'll admit the one scene I missed. I went to the bathroom. It
No.
was the scene where this isn't like a huge spoiler, but it's like a training scene and Dev Patel takes off.
Editing Isabel here, she says shirt. It kind of cut out a little bit. You
And
missed that scene.
apparently went crazy because and I missed it. Me, Dev Patel fan account on Roblox, missed.
I didn't know that you missed that.
I did, yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't think it was anything. Okay, it was like,
I got.
it went kind of crazy, but not like crazy, crazy.
No, I got like the beginning of it and like the very end of it. I literally ran. I'm telling you, running to this bathroom because I hate missing parts of movies. Like, I hate it.
If you saw the beginning and the end of it, I'm sure that you can. It's, I know it's not the same. You'll have to watch it again, but you can fill in the moments. It's not like anything changes drastically.
Yeah, like I got the point of the scene and like the music and like the connection and everything. So that was fine, but
You're like, but
I missed
visually.
the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess just to kind of jump into it, let's jump into it. I think visually the film, like in comparison to other action films, I think it does it very well. Like the action sequences, I think there are certain scenes that I liked a lot more. Like there's this scene where I'm gonna call him Bobby because he goes by Bobby during this point. Like Dev Patel's character, even though he's
Yeah.
named Kid.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, it says kid, but I don't remember them ever saying kid. So we're gonna go with
Yeah.
Bobby.
Yeah, so Bobby's kind of running away from the police and going down this like stairway. And the cuts of that scene are so crisp. I just recall them like focusing on the hand, focusing on something that slammed into someone. I like the use of like they would slam a door or like hit something and the glass would crack, but it would happen so like crisply, and then it would focus for just a second, just long enough for you to see it, and then move, like keep running with the like actor. And I really love the focus on like the handrail, the focus on them running down the stairs, and it wasn't traditional in the sense that I feel like sometimes when we get action sequence on stairways, we're like either following them chasing shaky camera style or watching them run from an up, like a higher angle. And
Yeah.
I liked kind of like the abruptness of like it felt like we would stop and hit and like focus on something as if we were running down the stairs, like hitting each floor.
Yeah, I
Which
was gonna say, I was like, some of it just seemed like it was directly like they strapped a GoPro to Dev Patel's head and just had him
yeah.
like run down the stairs, which I wouldn't be surprised because he did say that they were using like anything, like GoPros, iPhones, like just whatever they could get their hands on.
Which I feel like it shows up in certain parts of the movie more than others. I would say like they have this little car chase, and that felt a little more like GoPro-y to me than the stairway scene, than some of the fight scenes. I feel like when it's like a close-up fight scene, you can feel like how crisp cut it is, and like maybe it's the editing as well, which I really liked. Some of the scenes where we're like outside and stuff, I think we get a lot more of that like shaky camera kind of thing.
Yeah, I watched an interview where he was specifically talking about that car chase scene, and he was like, my old iPhone, we strapped it to like the car itself. And like, so it literally was just an iPhone strapped to this car. There's so many interesting like tidbits about the behind the scenes of this movie. But yeah.
Yeah, I wrote down some of the movies that he said kind of reference or not references, but like inspired him. Like a lot of influence of Korean revenge movies. And then like other action movies. So like I think one of his earliest movies he remembered watching was like Enter the Dragon, and he really liked the action sequences of that movie. And then also referencing like The Raid being I've heard of The Raid movie being like an incredible action movie, not necessarily a great story from what I've heard, but like action wise, it is back to back to back. And so I think sometimes in this movie, I felt like that was happening, where it was kind of like we'd run from one fight to another. So I could see that. And then other ones that he mentioned were I Saw the Devil and Old Boy. But yeah.
Yeah, I had just watched Old Boy a couple weeks ago, so I guess I could kind of see some of the influences. I do think that like this one was a lot more up close and personal than the fight scenes in Old Boy. Like from what I remember, a lot of the Old Boy scenes were very like it was very similar in like its grittiness, but like a lot of old boy scenes were very like strategically framed so you can see everything happening at like one time.
There are some really crazy fight scenes that I didn't expect, like how you're saying kind of gritty. Like, I don't know if gritty is the word I would use for it, but just kind of like genuine shock at weapons and harm done to others. I saw a clip of someone being like, there were some things used as weapons I didn't even think could be used as weapons. So like there's a kitchen fight scene, and I feel like kitchen fight scenes are like well done usually, like because you have so many weapons and so many options and stuff. But like there's a scene in an elevator, and I don't, will this spoil anything? It's more action spoiler than like
But
plot.
people can skip forward like 15 seconds. Do it now.
Yeah, was it a knife? And he knifes some guy in the throat and takes his mouth and bites it to shove it in.
Yes.
It was
Yes.
crazy.
It was wild.
Like, I was like, damn, this
No.
is.
If you're hearing this, maybe skip another 15 seconds. I thought he was gonna rip it out. But he shoved it further in.
Yeah.
I was
Shock
gagged.
upon my face. I was like, whoa.
No, like,
Whoa.
I don't know how like closely number one that movie theater employees are paying attention, but also how close they can see people's faces because they have like cameras in there to like watch you. But if they saw me, it's just like my face, like jaw dropping, physically recoiling in my seat. Like,
No, genuinely insane. And I feel like there's a couple moments like that in this movie where I was like, that is, whoa.
yeah, apparently, like. They originally had the John Wick stunt coordinator, choreographer or something. And then this was like all filmed in 2020, like right in the middle of the pandemic. Like I think he said they had done like 4 months of just like getting the set ready in, I want to say, Mumbai. Let me see.
I think they tried to do Mumbai and then they had to move somewhere else.
Yeah, so like they couldn't do it there anymore because of COVID, and then I think they went somewhere in Indonesia, and he was basically like he had to like pitch Indonesia to the like I don't know the studio, and he was just like lying about having been there, and he was like no, like it'll be fine, it looks just like Mumbai. But like they lost a lot of people though when they like transferred there because some people like did not want to be stuck in Indonesia for 9 months with just like the same 300, 400 people. And so they lost the John Wick stunt coordinator and they just hired some guy on YouTube that like he found. I mean, like, there's a lot of people, there's professional people on YouTube. So I don't know if it's just like
Yeah.
YouTube is how they found this person or if it's just like a guy. So yeah. But like, he
There are
did
so many
pretty good
things.
because.
That idea was insane. I don't know who was coming up with these ideas, but some of them, I think some guy slams his head into a microwave and we see the microwave crack. We see, like, sometimes it's like we'll see something implied and then sometimes we'll see it firsthand. And so the shock and horror on my face, because I was like, oh, like at some point he cracks a finger off someone and it just cracks like a cookie. And I was like, okay.
I'm kind of impressed by your ability to pay this much attention to all of like the little tiny like moments because I just all I was watching was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
No, they just like, I feel like that's a big thing is like visually. I was like, dang, it just cracked like a cookie, huh? Just picked it up, just went with it. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other things that like kind of came up to me. I was scribbling in this notebook so many things. So like I guess that has to do a little bit more with story. But
I feel like it's okay to get into the story a little bit. Like, I think there's some things that that letterbox summary doesn't even touch on that the trailer probably does.
yeah. I guess like a last thing before we kind of jump into story is that like there are obviously a lot of references to, or there's a lot of influences for this movie. What I saw visually or like through the story and like a lot was just John Wick. John Wick being explicitly referenced in like I think Bobby, the character is at a gun store, and he's like, "Here's the gun from John Wick." And but then also kind of like last fight scene is Bobby in a black suit and tie
He
with
also
like
has a dog moment.
yeah like he has a dog and he loves this dog
Don't get too
and th
excited
it's a
though, if
revenge
you're
yeah it's not
the
that long
dog is
but
around
and
for
then
like 10 minutes.
yeah
Not
and there's
because
like
it
a
dies.
revenge yeah to be no dog death but it's like a revenge story and like for a woman and
Yeah, it
yeah
goes from
so
like there's like three very clear acts. It goes from like revenge to like spiritual journey in the middle of it. And then like more of like someone, I don't remember who said that, but like avenging then revenging. But yeah, which is like was interesting because I just expected it to be like a straightforward revenge story the whole way through.
Yeah. I guess like when I was watching it, I felt like it kind of matched. So at the beginning of the movie, it's kid's mom explaining the story of Hanuman and how Hanuman looked up and he saw a mango on a tree and he was like, "I want to eat that mango." And he jumped up, but it turned out it was the sun. And he ate the sun. And so the gods were very mad at him for eating the sun and punished him. And so he went through very grueling punishment and was from what I understood of the story, like was basically like left kind of sad, like obviously because he was punished by the gods and like they took his power away from him was the implication. So like when I was watching the movie, I think that the story of Hanuman is like supposed to like I think too, Bobby himself, he parallels himself to Hanuman and being like the first half of the movie, or the first, like, I want to say third of it, is him kind of losing Loki. Like, he's trying to make this revenge plot and he's very smart, like, at doing it. Like, he's making his moves to get into, like, these elite places to work and all this stuff. But when it comes to fulfilling the revenge plot, he gets taken down, and then like the second like chunk of the movie is him redeeming himself almost. I felt like it was like almost a rebirth of him. Like he falls into the water and he is healed through faith and this like spiritual journey. And then the last act is him actually fulfilling the revenge. And then like the last scene kind of like he's looking at the painting in the last scene, and it's Hanuman in battle as he's like finishing, I guess, the story.
I've only seen the first John Wick movie. So I don't know. I mean, I know that everyone says that they get better as they go on, but as far as like the development of like the combat and things like that, like I don't know how much crazier it gets. 'Cause to me, like this movie was way crazier than John Wick 1. I'm sure it gets
Yeah, I
more
think so.
wild. But yeah. So, but he's like very aware of it, but at the same time, like, you know, he'll get asked by people, like, oh, so, or not even asked, but like people just like call this movie the Indian John Wick, and he's very much like, no,
No.
no, because like John Wick, from the one movie I've seen at least, has no really like cultural influence. It might have like underlying political themes, but this movie is very explicitly political. Which was like another thing that I wasn't expecting. I guess like you could kind of predict it from the trailer, but I mostly thought it was just going to be like a straightforward like son's mom dies, son avenges mom thing, which like was pretty common. So yeah, I don't know. So
Yeah, I've seen, I want to say three of the four John Wicks. It's been a second since I've seen them. But even thinking back, there's definitely not explicit commentary, social commentary, and also like it is very much like to me a like great action franchise, but it is pretty much just action. Like, honestly, I don't even think Keanu Reeves speaks that much in them. Like, so, like, we're not getting like heavy plot. Like, he'll pull out a picture of the wife and stare at it longingly. We'll get a flashback, and then we he's like killing people. So, like,
Yeah.
I think like coming into this movie, I also didn't expect, the social commentary of the movie. So like as we're kind of uncovering the story of the death of kid's mom, Bobby's mom, there's like political disputes and land disputes over territory, and also implications of like religion and the safety of religious minorities within India, and also moving forward, sexual minorities, like basically marginalized people within society, and kind of like corruption, and also like caste system and class playing into how that affects people's lives, and how it affected his life, because I guess we'll move into spoilers. Where he lived, a corrupt officer and like group of police basically burned down their village and like massacred the people there because they were fighting for their land because they had land dispute issues. And or basically they were trying to take their land, and they were like, no, don't do that, we're gonna protest. And then the police came and destroyed their homes. And so that's why Bobby's mother died, because the head officer killed her like personally, and he was there and saw it, and he like burned his hands because the whole village burned out and he was trying to like save his mom. And it's a very tragic story, but like it, we see it play out because obviously the officer is rewarded and continues being like very successful. And then the officer starts working for the head of a, what is it? It's he's
I
like a
think,
spiritual leader.
yeah, but I think what had happened was so, like, he was already working for that spiritual leader, and the spiritual
Oh, okay, yeah.
leader was like, I want this land. But he kind of uses, like, this spiritual persona to manipulate people. Like, I think that there's, like, they eventually put, like, an entire commune on, if not, like,
Yeah.
that area, a different area that they had also, like, just completely, like, massacred everybody and tore down all their homes and rebuilt just like new structures there. But yeah, his name is like Baba Shakti. And yeah, he hires all of these police, or they're all under his like political influence, and they absolutely destroy Bobby's hometown. And then yeah, they're all wearing these like rings that have like a lion on them. And I think that that's how he links them all together, because he sees Baba Shakti wearing that ring, I think. Not
What's his
100% sure.
image?
Yeah.
So like the lion image is like Baba Shakti's image, and then Rana, the police officer, was wearing his badge, so he remembers his name from that night. But also he takes out a pack of, it's like cigarettes, and the cigarettes had the crown symbol, And so the crown symbol connects to Queenie Kapoor, who is like a very rich businesswoman who does a lot of suspicious and corrupt and illegal activities at this like hotel she owns, I think. It's like a hotel, restaurant. Like a lot of things are going on. Like she pushes drugs through it. She pushes like human trafficking through it. It's a lot.
I think because, so from the trailer, I knew that his mom died, but I think because I missed the first 5 minutes for a while, I was like unclear because there's even lines that almost like if you missed the first 5 minutes allude to the possibility that the mom hasn't been killed, that she's been like trafficked and is in this place. So like I was a little unclear on what was happening, and I was like maybe she died or he thinks that she died, but then it like he finds her and there's like some kind of plot twist, but they do eventually like another like unexpected like violent thing, like they show her being lit on fire, so it's pretty
Yeah.
explicit that like she dies. But I think it's just something that the policeman, that the chief says to him like in passing, just to make him more angry. Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that. Like, there's obviously the mom has died, but like you mentioned in this like hotel restaurant thing, there's this whole like human trafficking operation going on. But also, I think that it's implied that some of the girls do choose to like work there, because at one point, like, or maybe they're just forced in the situation and they just see other people who can choose whether or not they're there. Because there's this one girl, let me see if I can find her name, Sita.
Are you talking about Sita? Yeah.
Yeah, she's like outside with him at one point, outside with Bobby, because Bobby reacts poorly to seeing her being like touched by this man that's like paying for her services and all this stuff. And he goes out to like take a breather, and she's like, if you can't handle being here, don't work here. But yeah, so there's all of that going on. And for like maybe the first half of the movie, I was a little put off by like how much violence against women the plot was built on. And I think that it like kind of remedies it by the end, but like not fully. It like, yeah, it's like an attempt is made, which is like more than a lot of action movies can say, but it's still like all of the women's revenge for themselves is still within the context of like Bobby's story and is still in full support of like his story and not necessarily their own. And like by the end, you don't even really see like who's left standing, what else they did. So that was like my biggest critique, I guess, for the entire movie. But it
No,
is
I
kind of like,
agree.
yeah, it is kind of self-aware about it though, 'cause like the whole point of the three acts is like they say at one point like, oh, you've been kind of like operating based on like pain. So like you're on this revenge mission that's just being chaotically driven by pain. And then he almost dies and he falls in that river, and then he's taken in by the Hijra, who are like this marginalized group that's living, I think, in this temple. And they're all like non-binary people, transgender people, and they take him in and they're like, you're safe here, like no one wants to come here because we're outcasts. And they kind of like help him along this spiritual journey. But even that is like, it was really nice to see that kind of representation, but at the same time, it is again all within the context of like Bobby. So it was just kind of like they didn't feel like fully formed characters at times. But yeah.
No, I agree. Because, like, Sita is like there. And, like, when we're first introduced to her, Queenie is yelling at her because I don't know what she's done. But, like, Queenie's yelling at her, being like, I can't believe you did this to me. Like, da 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 da. Like, whatever. And she's like, I'm going to throw you back on the street. So, very much like, it doesn't seem like Sita's there under like great circumstances. And her and Bobby's character, she's very much like, you should get out of here. I feel like this is not what you're about. And then when she does get her revenge on Queenie, kind of like Bobby literally takes Queenie's hand and just like looks at Sita and is like, yeah. And then just keeps it pushing. So like, and it like helped him in the end because he was gonna die if Sita didn't do that. But then also when he's at the temple and like the women there are healing him and like training him, and like they're very clear, they were like, we were warriors before, and like this is like the historical context of this, and like the roots and the tree and the meaning of having roots and finding your roots and like caring for them. And then they show up to protect him when he needs it. I forgot exactly what I was gonna say, but I kind of fully agree because like even in that fight scene, like he leaves to do the final fight and we don't get any kind of resolution on what happened there. And then it just kind of feels like at some points where it was like, especially with like the pain of his mother and like the trauma of that experience, kind of like many action movies where it's like women are plot devices in a way sometimes.
It's kind of
So
like the woman in the fridge trope.
a little, yeah.
Maybe not like one
Yeah.
for one, but like more or less. Like, it's this movie is like very, very unique, don't get me wrong, in like so many different ways. But yeah, it's like in that aspect, we have seen that time and time again of like you have a dead wife or a dead mom or a dead grandma or a dead female best friend. Like, just yeah. And then even like when he's in that temple. At one point, one of the Hydra gets beaten, and so then we see that happen, and then he goes out, I think, and like gets them money by doing another fight so that they can like, I mean, he just it's a lot of money, so it's kind of like whatever they want to do with it, but like it will at the very least help them get her like proper medical attention, I assume. But yeah.
That's what I was gonna bring up. I was trying to remember the scene that I forgot. It was that scene, and he like takes their money, I think, to bet it all on
Yeah,
himself.
for a second I was like, what is happening?
That's like he breaks into their like small safe of money because it's very clear they don't have that much money. And one of the people from the temple has been hurt, and she's like clearly like very like desperate medical situation because everyone's there like, oh my goodness, like what can we even do now? Like no one will see her. And so he breaks into the it's like a box, and it's very clear they don't have a lot of money, but he takes like a good fistful or two of money and then bets it all on himself, which also at this point he's a like wanted person, but he does the fight, and because he's gotten better at fighting and he's gone through this journey, he wins. And so then he just decides to leave like a backpack full of all of the money there for them at the temple. And that's when his like, I want to say the third act begins of his like revenge plot. But yeah, no, that happens. And I was like, so like even that last fight was in the service of like the women at the temple. And it's just, yeah. Yeah. I think that was my only like kind of like while I was watching, and I was like, are we gonna get any deeper on any of them? Or because
Yeah, that was like
we got a little more on Alfonso, and he like he's kind of like the sidekick guy.
yeah. There's like one main Hydra that he's like talking to that's guiding him the whole time. And even they just feel kind of like this mysterious. Oh, I mean, like this is partly intentional, but it also lacks a little bit of depth, but just it's like elusive spiritual figure to guide him, and like that is their sole purpose. Yeah, I don't know, but that was like I have very little criticism of this movie, and that is like probably like my biggest one. The only other like one I can think of really is it did feel like the sections were not split up, like they were actually in like a very mathematical way, split up evenly. In a balanced way, they were not even. Like, I feel like the first half could have happened in like a much more concise amount of time, and then the second half just went on like a little too long. I think that it was like better paced than the first one, just because, like, I mean, you do kind of need to like slow down a bit for the spiritual story and journey that they're trying to tell, especially when he like takes this one substance at one point, that is supposed to, like, I can't remember what they say specifically. They say something like, the pain will stop like when you've learned whatever it is that you need to learn from, like, you know, basically it makes him like relive all of his trauma. And then there's like this really artsy shot where he like, oh, his chest cracks, and for a minute I was like, what is going on? His chest cracks, and then he like pulls it open, and there's just like this white light rainbow thing happening, and then you like go inside of it. I don't, yeah, that was a little unexpected, but yeah.
From my understanding, the thing that I found their name. Their name is Alpha. Alpha is the head of the temple. Alpha gives them a hallucinogen made of the roots of this very sacred tree that's referenced in Devdas. And so that's where I think we got the trippy shots, because then it the chest pulls open and we see kind of like a mango, and the mango references the monkey story and the Hammurabi story of he was trying to eat the mango and all of these things. And then also kind of I feel like that scene also connected to this idea of roots, of he's taking the route to find his roots. And there's clips of his mom telling him the lines on your fingers are the roots that tell your future, but he doesn't have those anymore because he burned them when she was dying, when she was killed. And so he doesn't have roots. What is his future? Which I thought was an interesting thing to do with it, this idea of roots and family.
There's also this scene with these like puppets. Like, I think it's like the night that they get attacked. There's this like puppet show that they're putting on, and it's this like story of, I think, Hanuman defeating the Demon King. Am I, yeah.
So like, yeah.
Which I think is like, I think it's a different god that defeats the Demon King and like the primary story for Diwali. But Diwali is like the holiday that the entire, not plot, but like just like background of the movie is kind of based around. Like the whole movie they're counting down to Diwali, and then the final fight happens like on the first day of it.
Yeah, because I know for Diwali they do a lot of shows and stuff, and so the puppet show is the version for the kids in his town. And a big plot or a big part of the movie is that Hanuman save or there's this element of Hanuman saving the princess from the bad guy, and Bobby feeling like his mom at one point looks at him and is like, "You are my Hanuman." And he can't save her, and he couldn't save her. And then kind of meeting the other women in this story of he can't save what was her name? He can't save Sita. And then when he's at the temple and the women and what's it called? I believe they're referred to as a third gender, it's a recognized third gender. And so being I couldn't save that, when he sees one of them has been hurt, and he's like, "I'll try my best to save them," and then kind of continues with this revenge because he can't save them. So yeah, but I feel like that was a complex part of his trauma of I was unable to save her. I'm Hanuman.
Yeah, also, again, like, I mean, there's a bunch of different stories I think that are associated with Diwali, some of which are like, they might like differ from, because I think the main religion that celebrates it is the Hindu religion, but there's also other ones that do acknowledge it. But I think the main one is, let me see if I wrote it down. I think it's Rama. Someone please correct me if I'm wrong in like our DMs or something, but I think it's Rama defeats the Demon King. But I think Hanuman is there. And it's specifically Diwali is the celebration of victory of light over darkness. So it's like Rama's army of good defeats the Demon King's army of evil, which does kind of like follow this journey that he's going on, like especially the final fight. I don't know like specifically what scene is being depicted in the final like painting. There's a lot of paintings throughout the entire movie too. Like that was another thing that I really liked, was just like throughout all of it, you're seeing all of these paintings of like different, I don't know if they're all Hanuman, I can't remember, but just like different stories from like Indian mythology.
Yeah, because like the last scene is him defeating is it Baba Shakti?
Yeah.
And kind of like staring at Hanuman in the painting as like Hanuman is in this war. Then, okay, question. Does he die at the end?
I'm pr like 99% sure. Okay, so like I think he does die, and then I think in an interview he doesn't say he dies, but like more or less he says he dies. Like he says something like the fall of kid or something like he says something that it's like pretty clear that to Dev Patel he's dead. Like me, because I think when you make art you kind of relinquish some of the interpretation or like meaning, even if you want to be like that's, this is a whole other debate, but like sometimes artists are like they want to be mysterious and they want you to like be like, oh well, I interpret it this way, and they love to be like I won't say what it's about, it's up to you. And then there's some artists that are like, this is what it's about, and if you have any other interpretation that you somehow gain from this, you're wrong. Which like I kind of disagree with, but to each their own. But for Dev Patel, he was kind of like basically saying that, like, yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, because I was watching it and I was like, okay, wait. And then I was reading on Wikipedia afterwards and they were like, as he is dying. And I was like, he died?
Yeah, he does stick it out long enough though to kill the other guy. Which is like another moment of surprise violence. I mean, at this point in the
Yeah.
movie, I wasn't surprised, but it's just like, dang. And it is like classic weapon through the hand moment where he just continues to like use that hand. Like at one point, he's gonna stab him, and then he like just completely palms whatever this. It's not a knife. It is it from the shoes? Because I didn't quite
Yeah.
catch. Okay, yeah. He has
So
these like
there are these
shoes.
shoes that Baba Shakti wears, and they're like wooden. And they're like if flip-flops had just like a little bob in the center, and that's what caught your foot in them. And he was like, this guy made these so that like he would never hurt anyone, like ever. And then it turns out, no, these shoes are evil, because they come apart to be like stabby. So then he stabs him. He stabs Kid pretty bad. Like I was like, dang, he's not gonna survive this, huh? Like we're not making it.
Yeah, but there's two shoes, so there's two stabby things. And I think he goes to stab him again, but he stops it with his hand. It goes through his hand, and then I think he like turns it around, right? To then stab. Or does he
Somehow,
like,
yeah.
he like either turns it around to stab him, or he like takes it out or something. But basically, he gets the guy. Yeah, and this man is like about to escape. Like there's a helicopter preparing to like pick him up from this like penthouse floor. Yeah, but I think that's like it, that touches on like another like in an interview he talks about the themes between faith being used as like a guiding light in like a positive way, And then also the ways in which it could be manipulated and weaponized and monetized, which I thought was like really interesting. Yeah.
I think something that I liked at certain points, at a certain point, I was like, okay, interesting. The music chosen for each fight scene. There were some moments where I was like, okay, maybe this, and I'm like, this is okay. But like, there was a fight scene, I believe it's in the club, and they're playing Roxanne by the Police, and it kind of like soothes. I kind of liked it.
I really loved all of the music that they used, and like, because it'll go from like normal like modern music, like maybe like modern Indian music, to like just like drums.
Yeah.
But there's like in the training scene, well, a little bit before the training scene, he's just kind of like hanging out around a fire with all of the Hijra, and one of them is like doing these little bongos. They're probably called
I love
something
that
else.
one.
One of them is like
The
doing the little
drums.
drums, and yeah, and then later when he's like fighting or punching the like rice bag, he's kind of like, I'm not punching it correctly, dang it! And then this person starts like playing the drums again, and he's like doing it to the beat of the drums this time. And then when he fights the chief. Because it's like the first floor, he's just like fighting a bunch of like faceless minions, which apparently they only had like 8 people and they had to reuse a lot of them. So, like, there's some points where you would see, I mean, I didn't notice, but you would see him defeat one guy and then he would show up again later and they would put them in like different costumes and like wigs and things. Like, I think in several interviews, he's described one guy as looking like, he either calls him like Gandalf or Dumbledore or something like that. But yeah, so first floor he's like fighting all those people, and then he gets to that like disco floor and he's just fighting the chief and it's playing that like drum beat again.
Oh yeah, because it's like, yeah.
But I
Yeah.
really liked the music.
I think there was one scene where he's like fighting early on where the music, it was like a beat, but I was like, I don't know if the timing on this is it was like one scene, but I really like the use of music, like the Roxanne cover, or the Roxanne song as it kind of plays into the club. And then also the drums in that scene, the training scene, kind of like playing through and like teaching him and like communicating through that music, I thought was really great.
I think that was everything I had. I didn't take notes. In the
I
theater, the second I got in my car, I was like brain dumping everything.
yeah, I think that was all of my notes.
I guess really quick, because there were so many things wrong, or so many things that went wrong, like just during production. Let me see if I can find like a list, because there's a lot. Okay, so apparently he broke his hand and some toes, but the main one I've been hearing about is the hand. So he broke his hand and they couldn't afford to like edit it out with like VFX or yeah. So they had him like go to a doctor in like Jakarta who put a nail in his hand, and he was like, you can't put more than like a pound of pressure on this, or it will splinter like wood. And then he gets back, and because he had broken it during the scene where there's like this bathroom fight scene with like an aquarium, and he had
Oh, yeah.
broken, yeah, he broke his hand during that scene. And then he goes, gets the nail put in his hand, comes back immediately, starts shooting that scene again, and he has to like punch a bunch of things. So he's just kind of like, I mean, whatever happens, happens. And then I mentioned before that he lost the John Wick stunt coordinator, but he also lost his production designer.
Yeah.
So they had to like figure something out with that too. I think I remember an interview of him talking about like they only had a certain number of like breakable cable tops, so they would like shoot one scene and then they would stop and they would glue them all back together again so that they could reuse them. And I think he said the same thing with like, I mean, I don't think you can glue, it's a little more obvious when you glue back together glass, but he said that they also had like an issue with like the easily breakable, like the sugar glass. And then
Are
his
we?
gaffer died of a heart attack. Oh, what were you gonna say?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, so they lost him in the middle of the production.
I heard
Gaffer.
about the last thing that they like had the club sequence, and they had like glass top tables, and that I think someone had to put it on their personal credit card, and that for a little bit, as long as they could do it, they were shooting from like waist up, so they wouldn't get any of the like table, basically missing top tables into the seats.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things that I remember him mentioning, but like that was like the main one. I think that there, this is less of like an actual issue and more of just like a nitpicky thing. But I guess like he didn't love how the monkey mask looked when it first came in, but like they couldn't really afford to get another one made, either for like production budget reasons or like just time reasons. So he like sewed part of it together, like he pinched like the nose or something together, and they were like, yeah, that looks good. So they just kind of like altered it themselves. That's another thing. So like the mask is black for most of it. It's like your standard gorilla mask. And then in the like scene where he takes the money so that he can like bet on himself, he dips it in like bleach and it bleaches it white so it looks more like Hanuman, and he like changes his like fighting name or something, and then he wears
Yeah.
it when he's walking up to like the building to for the final fight scene, but he immediately takes it off before he gets into the building, and I kind of wanted him to keep it on a little like maybe when he gets to the fight with like the chief on the next floor, then like yeah, it can come off. I kind of wanted to see him fight with it, especially because all of the Hydra that are fighting in that scene are wearing like masks, and also just these like beautiful like gowns or like dresses. Yeah, so like they're visually stunning, and then he's dressed like John Wick, so like also stunning, but in like a less flashy way. It would have
I
been cool to
agree. Like
see
he
him
took off.
wearing it, yeah.
Yeah, he took off the mask, and I was like, wait.
Yeah, and
I
it would
thought.
have been like a lot more, I don't know, like kind of like you're watching a fight scene of one of the paintings if he was also wearing a mask. I expected him to keep it on longer. I don't know. But also, I guess this movie was supposed to originally just go straight to Netflix. And then Jordan Peele was like, no, this needs to go to theaters. Which is like crazy to me because, like, I mean, this should be changed anyways, but like Netflix is at this point kind of just known for putting out like B movies. Once in a while you'll get maybe like an A minus, but something like this movie to me is just like way beyond the caliber of like a Netflix movie. So I'm really glad that it got to be put out in theaters.
Yeah, I agree. Like after learning that they shelved it, and that like that is so interesting to me, like hearing about that process of like you could really make a whole movie. And like it sounds like from all the interviews that Dev Patel put so much into this, and like the entire team puts a lot into this, and like it was a challenge to produce and make, and then also like the themes of the movie, and like it's such a unique film that like Netflix would just be like, okay, we bought it now, let's put it on a shelf. And they could just like choose to not release your mil like your whole movie that they've already purchased. And then like also hearing that like they had to buy it back and like all of these things. It's just been a very interesting story of how this movie has been made and like how it even got to theaters, which is crazy.
Yeah, I know you've seen it, but if anyone listening hasn't seen it, please look up the standing ovation that he got at South by Southwest for this movie because it's so cute. It's so cute. I know he's like a fully grown adult man, but it's so cute. And he's like just so taken aback by like everybody standing up and clapping. Oh, it makes me tear up, but yeah. If you don't have any other notes, obviously we're not recasting this week. I don't know if you could ever recast this movie even years from now, but it did just come out, so we're definitely not. But did you have any, or I guess before we get into Letterboxd reviews, how many stars would you give this movie?
Would give
How many
it
mangoes?
ooh mangoes. I love mangoes. I would give it 4. I was teetering on like 3.75, 4, but I really liked it.
I had the exact same thought when I was leaving. I think the final scene pushed me into like the four. So I would also say four mangoes. But yeah, it was the whole using women and non-binary people as kind of like a plot device. It was kind of like setting me back for the most part. The timing was part of it, but like that was the big one. Like I couldn't fully give it like a 4.5. But yeah, like a solid 4, especially like given the final fight scene.
Yeah, so that's how I rated it. But did you have Letterboxd reviews that you really liked?
I do. Okay, let me pull them up.
As we're thinking
But
about this, I do have to state, I think we've stated previously that I am a Dev Patel fan from day zero. And throughout this movie, I was like, don't look at me with those big brown eyes. Don't.
we were texting, and Chell and I were like, how appropriate is it? We need to give ourselves 60 seconds to, at least in the episode for us to be like, Dev Patel. He's
Of
aware.
those
He's
things.
aware. There's a scene where, like, it's the shirtless scene, and then, like, all of the people in the temple are, like, watching him punch this bag, and they're, like, fanning themselves. They're like, ooh.
I, you know that thing where it's like, insert name, please come home, the kids miss you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was enough time for that.
Okay, so this review is by Jenny K, and they gave it 4 stars and said, "He went bananas. Monkey business. Monkey puns. You better hold on tight, Spider Monkey." The
Gosh.
number of reviews I saw that just said he went bananas, I was like, "All right, we get it. We get it." This one is by, let me see if I can find their like actual, because sometimes their name will just be like Rachel, and I'm like, I know that's not okay. This one is by Rachel N underscore, and they gave it 4.5 stars and liked it and said, official second favorite monkey after gay little monkey from the Apple store. Dev Patel
Oh
need
my
you
gosh.
so bad.
So bad is crazy.
Which I'll try not to get into a whole tangent about this, but I directly associate gay little monkey from the Apple store with Drew from Emergency Intercom, and I have taken too much time figuring out what on earth Onika Bergman's meant.
Oh my gosh.
Like they would say it and I'd be like, what on earth does this mean? And then finally people on TikTok lately have also been like, what on earth does Onika Burgess mean? She ate. I get it now. I get it now. Anyways. And then my last one is by Harry Argyle, who also gave it 4.5 stars and said, Dev Patel got that slum dog in him.
My gosh.
That's the other movie he was in, right?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
That's big. Okay, so let's see, mine is by Haunted Hippie, who gave it 4.5 and liked it, and said to everyone who thought Dev Patel couldn't be a leading man in action film, you better count your fucking days. Which, yes.
Yeah, that was another thing he talked about, wanting to break into like, action as like a leading man for a while, and he just kept getting cast as like the man behind the computer who's like pants.
Press the button. Yeah.
Like that's not how cameras work.
That's so crazy that he had to not only write, direct, act, and like all, like, I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen that thing where it was like written by, directed by, acted. Like all of these things, and it just says Dev Patel back to back to back. Can you like that makes me so sick that he had to do all that just to be a leading man. Like he had to start from scratch. He had to do it all.
He pulled a Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Literally. But my other review is by Cookie, who gave it 5 stars and said Dev Patel directing all those women to ooh and giggle when he takes off his sweaty tank top.
He is
It's
aware.
so funny. I have this other one by Salome, Salome, with 3 E's at the end, who gave 4.5 and liked it. And so this is their review. Okay, didn't know this was gonna be about the Hindu caste system and revolutionary violence. Hello. So often you're watching an action movie and it's like, this is sick, but also US military propaganda. And this time it was so fucking sick, with very sick politics. And I sort of can't believe it was made and that it's being distributed by a major studio. And like a very fucking stylish directorial debut, scrappy and controlled at the same time. And Dev's performance was everything it always is. Can't wait to watch again. Also, love the biting.
I also liked that review.
But yeah, so those are my reviews.
What did you love this week?
What did I love this week? I feel like this isn't even something I love. This is something that has been consuming my media intake. This, like, I think you know what I'm gonna say already. I think you know what I'm gonna say already. But I feel so incredibly old. Because my entire For You page is this TikTok Riz party and these like four kids and like five of them. And like, I think the first one I got was like a ranking of all of who they were. And I was like, what is this? Because it's like the full hierarchy of the TikTok Riz party. And so it starts with like Tomato Boy, and they're like talking about all of things, and they all have like nicknames. And then I kept seeing press conferences from each of them of being like, I am Blue Tie Kid. And then like, I don't understand the name, but they've named one of them Turkish Quandale Dingle. And I don't know what the
I don't
name
know
means.
what a quandale is. I don't know what a dingle is.
And I'm like, people are making like sad edits of like these like children. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I've like, maybe, you know what? Call me old and out of touch. But I was like, apparently they were just at like someone's 16th birthday party dancing. And now like TikTok is being like, one of these is like wanting the approval so bad of the other. And like, all I'm saying is that if that happened to me when we were 15, I don't know how today would be. I don't know.
I thank God every day that TikTok did not exist when we were in high school.
I
I
agree
don't
because
think
I
I
don't think
would
I
have
can
made
handle
it.
it.
I just got a
Yeah.
Snapchat memory on my phone the other day of just me crying in art class because for some reason everyone loved to take photos of themselves when they cried for their like spam accounts. That's what we had. We had spam accounts, and that was it.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's something that's been kind of I've been sitting with pondering. that's I like my sister, I this is the relationships with my siblings I have. I was on Discord with my sister and brother. We were playing Roblox. And I was like, do y'all know what this is? And my sister tried to explain this whole thing to me, and I was just like, I think I'm just old. I think sometimes you just gotta know when to back out. And this was my time. I was like, because I feel like if I brought that up to anyone else in the entire world, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
They'd be like, you are 23 years old.
Yeah, like, don't you have a job? Like,
Oh my gosh,
and
that's
so,
like,
yeah.
okay, so like I'm a geology major, so I had to go camping for like a month in the woods. Not the woods. It's like a rural area. But like I remember, like, we had all these chores that we had to do, like, wash everyone's dishes by hand, like this, like, rotation. And I remember being outside washing dishes with like four other people and explaining to them how some puppet on TikTok was being canceled.
Puppet who was like conservative for some
Yeah,
reason.
do you know?
Oh.
See, our brains are absolutely rotted. But they were all just like looking at me like, yeah, sometimes you just gotta draw the line somewhere.
I feel like it was a sign for me to get off my phone. Like it was like a calling to like, you know how like older millennials have just like become. Some of them refuse to let go. But I feel like this was my sign. This was my first, like, it's time. Like, this is like, I'm Master Oogway. I feel like I'm becoming Master Oogway, and I need to like from the internet, just need to like disappear in a petal of flowers and like fly away.
No, because I keep getting recommended this video on YouTube that's like, I deleted all social media for a week and now my life is amazing and I can't bring myself to watch it because it'll
What if
either
they're
make
right?
me, no, because I'm like, what if they're right? Or it'll make me so frustrated that I can't bring myself to do it. But this man looks like he's got it all figured out and I just can't pull the trigger. But yeah. It's
Yeah,
just
anyway.
like I started getting the videos on my For You page when there's like three phases to like TikTok memes that blow up. There's like the original video.
Yeah.
There's like state like a tier one of like memes and edits where it's like straightforward enough that like you can kind of figure out what's going on. And then it's just like it by the second stage it has completely devolved into like what on earth is happening. Like, for example, do you remember that meme where it was like the British thing where it would be like, well, at least I don't, you know? It's like it started out as just like literally just videos. Literally videos of like British people being like, well, at least we don't get shot up in our schools and stuff. And then it devolved it like, well, first it evolved into just Americans being like, well, at least, you know, like, but like you could figure out what was happening. And then it would just be like a photo of like a fish that has been like put through like five different filters. And then the audio itself is someone be being like, well, at least, but like the audio sounds like it was recorded on a phone that was recorded on a phone that was recorded on a phone. And it's like, you don't know what you're looking at unless you saw either the first, like one of the first two stages. And by the time it came to my For You page, like we were already at stage three. And I was like, I don't know what's happening right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the first video I got was literally like the hierarchy video, and I was like, who are these children? And then I kept getting more videos, and then I started seeing the original. Like, I saw a clip of the original, and it's just the kids dancing. And then I started getting that we have like Brokeback Mountain edits, and I'm like, or like, it'll be like a La La Land edit and be like, they're so similar. And I'd be like, what is going on? And then there would be like TikTok Riz Party full interview. And I'm like, why are they having press conferences? Why are these 15-year-olds PR trained? Like, what is going on? Anyway, I feel like I'm Master Oogway, my sister is Shifu, and my brother is Po, and I have selected the Dragon Warrior and I need to move on.
Just to give yourself some peace.
Just, yeah, just to go with the cherry blossoms and just like. Literally,
Was that the only thing that you have?
the only thing that's been like in my mind on like social media slash whatever. I'm like excited for summer to start so I can continue reading. I have like five books that I half read. And so I'm very excited for summer. Hopefully, I can work online. And I can go home and see family and friends and also make money and be chill. So that's what I'm excited for. What have you loved this week?
Man, I've just been thinking about this. I love That 2020 era of cosplay on TikTok, where like people weren't just cosplaying, they were like fully making OCs and editing themselves into the movies. And they were like really good at it. Like they were scary good at it. Like sometimes I would see one where like I've never seen the movie that they're editing themselves into. And it would take me a minute to be like, is this just like, is this a clip from a movie? Or is this usually they're using like a different audio that's like got some modern song in it, so like I know it's not from a movie, but like sometimes it's just like they're just doing their entire other thing. And they were like, it was like in tandem with the whole shifting thing. Like I just miss that like 2020 era of like delusion. I need us to bring it back because there was something like, I don't know, there's just like a certain camaraderie. But you know, I'm sure there were toxic sides to it of just like everybody being like, you know what, we're locked in our houses and we're gonna fully edit ourselves into like the Marvel movies. Like I would see things that would be like, my OC is the daughter of Tony Stark, and also I'm doing a collab with someone whose OC is the daughter of like Bucky Barnes, and we go and they're like full decked out cosplays, editing themselves into the movies. And there's like 18 different parts. There's gonna be 18 more. Like, I miss it so much. I miss it so much. It's just TikTok doesn't feel like that anymore. It just doesn't. Like, you don't get people interacting like that anymore. You don't. I don't know. But yeah. Also, I love big milk. You know, I used to drink a lot of milk and a lot of cow milk. But I've been low on vitamin D lately, like drastically low. And you know what? It's Big Nut. It's Big Nut. And Big Nut convinced me that I can just drink almond milk. I feel like you're looking. Big Nut convinced me that drinking normal milk was wrong and gross and dirty. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be like all the Big Nut girlies. I'm gonna switch to like coconut, almond, oat, you know? Now where am I? Severely deficient in vitamin D. And I haven't gone out and bought normal milk yet, but we're getting there. Okay, we're about to get there. When I can finally recover enough to bring myself to do it again, we'll get there eventually. But yeah. A few other just like short ones. Chloe Trost from SNL, hilarious. Twink Death Chalamet, I find him more attractive now that he's put on a little bit of weight. You guys are really weird. Number one, I didn't even really notice. I just feel like there was something I couldn't pinpoint that I was like, you know, he looks a little, I kind of get it a little bit more. Not like a top tier, you know, crush still, but like I get it a little more. In certain interviews, I see the vision. Not that I didn't see it before, but he's just like, I just like wasn't feeling it. Sometimes I feel it once in a while now. Which isn't to say that he didn't look good before, but like, I don't know, people's obsession with him and his weight is weird. And then last but not least, Millie Bobby Brown. She just, that poor girl. The homophobic memes do not let go. Like they And she, from what I've heard, like her parents did not care where she was or like what she was doing. And I that gives me like, I don't know her in her life, okay? But like it gives me the vibe that she had to like grow up and mature very quickly. And now she's like engaged to like Bon Jovi's son, which like whether or not she should be engaged at her age, what, like 20, 21, is a whole other thing. But that being said, I don't know, she seems so like down to earth in the most out of touch like she just
I
kind of
agree.
like living her life. And like I think what it is that she doesn't pretend to like not be rich and not be out of touch, but at least that I know of, none of it has been like in a problematic way. And I kind of find it endearing because like lately celebrities try to be a relate like relatable in a way that they're clearly not. Jennifer Lopez. And it's just really refreshing to just like see her living her life. She's marrying the son of Bon Jovi. Probably should not be getting married in her early 20s, but I wish them the best. But yeah. Shouts out to Millie Bobby Brown. You may say I'm a dreamer.
So sick.
Yeah. Man.
I
Love. No.